the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horseman, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
I preach, my dear friends, you're about to receive on John Barleycorn, nicotine, and the temptations of Eve.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
No barking by the sewer sign, hot dog, my razor broke, water dripping up the spout, but I don't care, let it all hang out. Hanging from a pine tree by my knees, sunshine through the shade. Nobody knows what it's all about. It's too much, man. Let it all hang out.
We're back at the races. The perfect lead-in for Tommy Masses, who's going to join us with Dick Powell as we talk Hong Kong from last week and also some nice news that came out over the last, I don't know, 24 hours. Beauty Generation is going to come back for another year. But when you want to talk about letting it all hang out, our man, Tommy Masses, the Hammer, he joins us now. Tommy, so happy for you. And you sprung that on me the other day when I reached out. And a $1.1 million pick six hit, incredible.
Yeah, it's you know what, it's you know, that, you know, people dreamed about being baseball players and doctors and hockey players. Well, I had some of those dreams, but by the age of 14, man, this is all I wanted to do. I wanted to be that fat cat,
and you know,
cigars, you know, betting on the horses, owning horses, and it's just wild, man. It's wild. Dreams do come true.
You know, and what's amazing is you keep doing it in different ways. I mean, obviously, you came to public horse playing consciousness, you know, widely with the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. But, you know, subsequently, it's become so apparent how, you know, you can score from anywhere on the court, 3 points, down inside, you name it, because this is, you know, this is really out of the typical realm. And how much Hong Kong had you been playing just generally?
Well, that was the third bet I made. I just bet the pick six. I played it in the past, and it's really, you know, really too much work for the way I do things. And what I mean, you know, if I just played Hong Kong, I could do it. But when I'm playing another track like Woodbine and then to play Hong Kong, so I just don't want to, you know, just weigh myself down with that. It's just counterproductive. So going through this stuff, I'm not going to play Gulfstream or Fawner or Will Rogers, you know, tracks I would never play. And I actually, you know, was conscious about, you know, during this, you know, I'm taking this virus seriously and staying home. And I figured the last thing I need to do to kill boredom is bet horses, because I can get in trouble. You know, I'll be betting day and night out of boredom, and I really can get in financial trouble doing that, right? You know, I don't know how to just fool around, right? So I just said, you know what, I'm going to start looking at Hong Kong again and, you know, basically stick to how you opened up about me. It's, I am that player. I am the pick six player, the pick four player, the pick five player. I'm not the contest player. You know, that's what everyone knows, and I always tell everyone, I'm not a contest player. I'm a rambling, gambling horse player, man. That's what I do for a living, betting on the horses in the traditional sense. And that's me. That's me. That's the way I bet made me hit that. Not that I'm a better handicapper. It's just the way I play the game. I play every bet I make. I want to make a home run out of it. Like, you know, my friend calls me related to baseball, he calls me Jack Kingman, right? And I said, Dave Kingman? He said, no, Jack Kingman. If Jack Clark and Dave Kingman had a baby, you'd be it. You know, strike out a lot.
That's great.
Strike out a lot, because I know when I make contact, sure, man, it's only going one place. And
well, and that, you know, we've talked about that with you, and you know, this past year, in fact, it feels like a million years ago that we were in Vegas for NHC, and you know, you always made it clear that, you know, that format is not really for you, but you did, you know, want to kind of redouble your effort to be prepared and so forth. This is remarkable to me that, you know, you would, you know, reboot and, you know, go to a circuit that a lot of people find completely foreign, and, you know, not just, you know, literally, but figuratively too. And, you know, Dick Powell's standing by, and Dick, I want to draw you in as well. But, you know, Tommy, give everybody a introduction to, you know, how you would acquaint yourself with the racing and with the information that's available, because it's almost overwhelming for players when they look at these form guides from the Hong Kong Jockey Club.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing I did, I called somebody who I knew is really familiar with Hong Kong and, you know, knows the ins and outs of it, right? A good friend of mine. And I basically pulled up the PPs and I said, what's this? And what's that? You know, and to him, I must have sounded like the biggest newbie on earth, but it's just things, you know, I wanted to be clear and, you know, asking questions, you know, for about 20 minutes and having a good teacher that I called and, you know, and it made the form, it's simple. I know you look at it, it's craziness, but all it takes is, if you got Mr. Powell's phone number, phone him if you're his friend, and say, hey, Dick, I want to play Hong Kong. I got the form pulled up. Explain what this is, that is, that is. And it's pretty simple. It's like a 20-minute conversation. And then their website with all this info, you know, can really get you dizzy. So same friend, I said, what on here should I really focus on and what on here should I just throw out? Because it is too much. It is too much info, but the info you need is there. So, you know, if you really kind of squeeze that website down It's the greatest thing on earth. For the, you know, it's just so much stuff. Like, you need, now I know why they only race twice a week. You need 3.5 days to prepare, right? But it's not. You have to really cut it down. But everything you could think of, it's like Google. You know, why did this horse do this? You know, and click, click, click. Well, there it is. You know, well anyways, a reasonable, you know, excuse to why he did this or why he didn't do that. It's just mind-blowing, you know, in this data world and people playing with algorithms and that they're not playing Hong Kong. It's just, I don't get it, you know. You can't be scared, you know. You know, you got to look at it. People, they get a $500,000 carryover at Fawner and they can't sleep at night and they're throwing all their money. These pools are common in Hong Kong. You know, it's like, let's say, John Dillinger, you know, why did you rob banks? Because that's where the money's at. And Hong Kong is where the money's at.
I think that was Willie Sutton, by the way. Willie, why do you rob banks? That's where the money is. The talk about the ticket, and you know, it's a good size ticket. This was not a $48 play. Let's also help people understand that. But you have to be, you know, to spend what you spent, Tommy, and explain the approach and the sequence. You know, people are going to say, oh, well, he hit it, you know, if I had that bankroll, it's not so simple.
No, because when you first, you know, when you first map out a ticket, right, and, you know, I got all the horses, I look through and I mark all the horses that I like, and then I called, you know, my friend, and, you know, he gave me horses he likes, and then you go on the tipster's page, and, you know, you get out, you know, and you look at your ticket, now, okay, that ticket costs $24,800. Where do I start cutting, right? So that it's all the mindset. My mindset is always pool. I could be 0 for 4 months and I still think I'm going to pool, and I play that way. So now comes my strength is the formulation of the ticket. And in usually, you know, if I'm playing, you know, North American track, pick four, let's say my main ticket might be 100 and then, you know, there's 200 impresses. Here, you know, I was thinking, do I play that way? You know, but with the way their pick six goes is after the takeout, they split the pool. Half the pool is for getting six winners, and the other half the pool is basically a place pick six. So I'm figuring, you know what, if I use extra horses in here, it might give me, you know, it might hit me that place pick six a few extra times. So instead of playing a bunch of extra tickets, it's already built into that one ticket. The card they raced before that Wednesday on a Saturday, you know, I got four out of six, but I got $2,900 twice for the place pick six. So it's kind of changes the way I play. But, you know, in all essence, when people are scared of Hong Kong of the 12, 14 horses, all their bets, they have bets to insulate you. So like a dollar trio, they have a trio, which is if you play a dollar, one, two, three, you get the one, two, three box, and it costs you $1. You know, and so on and so forth. So it's like they're like mooch bets, like, you know, they're spreader bets, but you kind of need to, you know, there's no exactas, but this is a track you don't need exactas. You need Quinellas and Omnis because, you know, there's so many horses and you know, you can, you know, I can play the opposite way of I always try to play things cold, but you can at this track, but the betting opportunities are there. You can play a trio, you know, three horse box costs you $1. So it kind of gets around the big fields.
Explain the ticket and the investment, because to spend what you spent, obviously there's a level of confidence.
Yeah. You know what? I almost keyed a horse I used three horses in the first leg. And the one I wanted, basically there was on the card, there was three horses that were having their second lifetime Hong Kong start. So as far as they were to me, they were second time starters. The first one, I had Agita the whole six races, because the first race, I loved the horse called Management Supreme that was 35-1. Second time starter that showed something in his replay first time out. And I actually bet him to win, and the favorite, Joel Moreira, ran me down at the wire. And believe me, Management Supreme is bet him next time out because he went fast and put away a few horses and only a second race there. So I was kind of pissed off right away. I'm going, geez, what a way to start getting beat. So the thing is, I had, you know, looking at the place ticket, I had two tickets now on the place pick six gone. And that thread kept going. The next race, I found a horse that, I don't know, first time out, how Zach Purton didn't get fined for that ride, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. The horse is real green. I singled a horse called Sky Show that paid just under $10 and was 10 days the best. And that's, you know, when you talk to other people about horses, that's a race where I was going to use two of them. And the person, you know, I was talking with kind of really liked Sky Show too. So I just, that's where I cut. That was the first cut where I really got my ticket down to a reasonable place.
How much, and tell everybody, we haven't mentioned how much you spent.
I spent $800. It's a dollar bet, and I spent $800. So I basically went three, by one, by five, by six, by three, something like that. Or I'm missing a race. No,
I actually have the screen. You sent me the screen capture. I should pull that up.
Because you know what happens is I go on my HPI website here and I do little stars beside all the horses I'm going to use in my ticket. And then they run back so fast here that, you know, then I'll remove so my ticket is not in front of me. But I know the winners. Like, I know, you know, the horse that, you know, it's weird. I always had this argument. The horse that made it pay is a horse called Delightful Lows. Tony Cruz, you know, who's a awesome trainer, another second time starter that to me was an insta bet, and it's one of the things I argue with people all the time. Here's a 3-year-old against 4, 5, 6, and 7-year-olds, and I used 5 horses in that race and actually bet this horse. Here's another horse I could have keyed. I mean, he basically ran off the screen, and it's the argument I have. It's like, what does age really matter? Here's a horse, 8-1 morning line, second lifetime start with a top trainer, and, you know, visibly, if you really look at his first race, ran good, and he goes off at 50-1. And the only logic is because he's a 3-year-old. You know, maybe Dick could, you know, clarify why he went off so big, because I know they don't like betting firsters there or second-time starters. You know, they don't get as much respect as they do here. But getting 50-1 in this horse is just like, that would hook me on Hong Kong for life. You know, just a race like that where a horse like that can run off the screen. The best decision I made was in the eighth race. I had 6 horses, and I think it was the eighth or the seventh. I don't know. I had 6 horses in a race, and I left the chalk out, even though I knew the chalk was like a real live horse. And he just, it was a horse called Cinquante Cinque, a horse that I had marked, and I left him out of a 6-horse spread. And believe me, he should have won that horse.
Wow.
Another thing there, the morning line, you know, for these bets, it's pretty cool because the morning line guy, I think it's the same guy from Gulfstream. 40-1 morning poor, line poor pays $12. 8-1 morning line pays $100. I basically don't look at the morning line anymore. I know the top two riders are going to be the favorites in almost every race, and probably rightfully so.
Yep.
But, you know, maybe Dick can make more sense of the morning line than I can, but I don't really understand it at all.
Let me bring Dick Powell in. And
hi, Tommy. Congratulations.
Dick?
Yeah. Thank you, Dick. By the way, Dick, in the Navy is one of my favorite movies of all time. You were great in it.
Yes. With Abbott and Costello. First of all, congratulations, because not only did you hit the pick six, but you've climbed one of the steepest learning curves, because your description of the amount of information and data that's provided is absolutely right on, because you're always learning with Hong Kong. There's nothing to master. You're just constantly on the learning curve, and it looks like you've hit it. You know, you've hit it running.
Yeah. Horse racing in general, Dick. It's like golf.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I gave up golf. the sequence you hit was a 3-1 favorite, and then 10-1, then the 60-1, Delightful Laos, then a 3-1 second choice, Shining Gem, Acclaim Light at 7.91, 8-1, and Good For You at 16-1. So the Delightful Laos is hard to come up with, but the rest of them are not impossible. The problem is every race that night was a 12-horse field, which Happy Valley rarely has an empty starting stall. So the combinations explode when you're going over six races. But at least, like you described, at least you can hit it. You know, that you get the win bonus if you have all six winners, but you can still hit it with the place horses. And that makes it more reachable instead of constantly trying and not hitting it and stuff like that. So I think your strategy was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, and as to that place bonus, so when I hit it, it paid 1.1 and change million, and the place bonus was $1,000. Well, the next night, the thing pays like $240,000. The place bonus is like $76,000. You imagine you go 4 out of 6, you're kicking the chair, kicking the cat, and you had 2 places, and you look, and there's 150 Gs in your account. We're getting 4 out of 6 and run the second twice. It was like mind-blowing, $76,000. For a place pick six for a dollar.
And what you were saying before about the morning line, the one thing that Steve and I have talked about, it, and we had it in the guide to Hong Kong racing in the racing form, is going to current odds the day before the race. And all the races, all the horses in all the races have actual betting odds. So, for instance, the next card is Friday night, Saturday morning at Sha Tin. So beginning, you know, you get up Friday morning, you can look at all the actual odds of the horses in all the races, not just the first race.
And
it actually holds up pretty good throughout the day. It's not like some horse starts out at 10-1 and drops down to 2-1. That rarely happens.
Yeah, but no, I use it.
It's in the morning line, which is one person's opinion. Now you got real data.
Yeah, no, on the Hong Kong website, at the top right, there's a it looks like a golden soccer ball in a horseshoe, and it says win, and you click on that, and then, like, I'll go to race 4 where the pick 6 starts, click pick 6, all 6 races pop up, and you can basically, even though I can't bet in the Hong Kong system, you can map out your ticket on that page, and as you're clicking and map out your ticket, it'll tell you how much the ticket costs, and at the same time, as Dick said, there's the real-time odds right down the side there. It's a great tool. It's a must. That's the way I play. I wait for that to come out, and I use those opening odds as the morning line.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it does take a little coaching to navigate the website, or else, you know, you really get turned off from it.
Well, if you have any questions, call me. I might not have the answer, but I can probably get it for you.
I got it. I'm just saying, to begin with, for beginners, right? That's who I'm talking to right now. Is reach out to someone. You know, take your time. It's not as hard as it looks, and you'll be amazed at all the resources there. It's just it should be the model for horse racing everywhere.
Yeah, and it's all free. We're not paying any of the data providers for this information. It's all free because everything is run by the club. The veterinary work, everything is under one umbrella. So everything we've always wanted at Horse Players is there and then some, and it doesn't cost anything. So it's just the deeper you want to go, the more information you can find.
Yep, I agree 100%.
And plus, like you said before, which is absolutely true, watching replays, because as good as the comments are and everything else, it still pays to watch replays to see how a race flowed and who had to move early and who got run down and, you know, just stuff like that. It's just there's always horses flying at the wire, and then they give you that replay with the gallop out, so you can actually watch all the horses pass the finish line and see who galloped out, who might not have. And
I have to get used to having, you know, it's a learning curve on how to follow your horses because of the different post positions and saddle cloths.
Yes.
So you kind of have to watch, you kind of pull up the form where they have the silks right beside the horse's yes. name, and you got to learn how to watch silks instead of saddle cloths.
And then watching the feed that they provide from the track, the woman, Jenny, who does the paddock report, she goes over every horse. She's terrific. The analysis that they provide is terrific. And then after the race, they analyze the race, and they show everyone warming up. So you get a sense of who's wearing what. A lot of the colors, a lot of the silks are brightly colored, so you don't get rid of many blacks and browns and things like that. You get a lot of pinks and fluorescents and stuff. But once you watch enough of them, it's not that hard to follow. And then the broadcast is in such high quality, high definition, that it's a little bit easier to see your horse and especially the saddle cloth number. But I go by caps and sleeves. If I'm looking for pink cap, green sleeves, things like that. For me, that's the easiest way to follow them.
Yeah, no, I'm starting to learn that. So I know the replay work. That's the first thing I'll look now is, you know, you have to look at three bits. I'll look at the post.
Steve, did I lose you?
Just for a second there, yeah. there was.
Okay, yeah. I
was just writing the case. Did we lose Tommy? I think we lost Tommy.
Yeah, I think that's what the noise was. I think he dropped.
Yeah,
off.
That's what that was. So Case will get Tommy back. I mean, Dick, this to me is so inspirational. And you know, yes, Tommy plays at a very high level.
Yeah, I'm back.
And not everybody's gonna. Oh, there we go. I got a couple of questions follow up in here, but you know, I was just saying to Dick, Tommy, you know, yes, you play at a high level, but you know, an $810 play is not completely out of the range of people, and it just shows that. I mean, it should serve as a. You know, as a model for people to try. I'm not saying that everybody's going to go and win $1.1 million, but if you've been intimidated and you think, I can't do this, you can. And you know, I do have to ask, Tommy, did you stay up and watch the races? Actually, Happy Valley is in the morning, so you actually were able to probably watch that from, you know, from 6 a.m.
Yeah, no, I set the alarm for about 20 minutes before the first leg of the pick six and got up, made my bet. And, you know, as long as I stayed alive, I was going to keep watching. And, you know, if I get tired, what I do is I just put my bets in, tape it on my TV, go to sleep, wake up and watch it like it's live. So but
yeah.
I watched all of that. Yep, got up, called my dad, said, Dad, I'm a millionaire. And he said, what the F did you do?
You were already a millionaire.
Well, I didn't tell him that till then. Now there's a little for him. So I'll tell you that one of the last card there, the past Wednesday. So I'm out of the pick six, and I kind of liked a real long shot. It was a race where it was a 1,000-meter race where it looked like there was 6-speed horses, and I can't remember the name of the horse, but a horse that probably was third fastest got an easy lead and went wire to wire, and you know I bet a horse that was 80-1, and now this horse was 60-1. I bet 400 to win, and 2 minutes later he's 80-1. So, you know, when a pool offers a big player insulation like that, you know, if you're betting big money, I seriously think about betting Hong Kong, because I was just stunned. Like, okay, so what, you know, what are my odds going to be now? It went up 20 points in 5 minutes after I bet 400.
Yeah, amazingly, 400 doesn't really dent it very much.
Yeah,
one,
no,
one
you
day,
know.
they did 1.2 5 billion Hong Kong, which is I think around 160 million U.S. in nine races. So they average close to 20 million per race. And obviously, the pools are enormous, and there's big bettors from all over the world in the pools. That's not an issue. All these people that say, "Oh, we got to get rid of these bettors and these computer players and everything else." No, they're all in Hong Kong in the pool because they're all there. The pool is large enough to accommodate them.
Yeah, I'm fine with the computer bettors. What did they get out of the pick six? Did they get in $1,000 consolation? That's all I left them. So,
yeah,
they don't scare me at all. There's ways to play against them. I don't like them being in the pools in general. But personally, I'm not scared of them or anyone else. But
no,
they are a problem. They are a problem, but not to me. I look at things so differently. I could care less if there was a 70% takeout if I can make a score that day. That's all that really matters to me. But you know, looking at it for the whole of racing, I see all these things, you know, are horrible. But what are you going to do? You gotta adapt and.
No, and the fact is, years ago, there were enough bettors hanging around the $50 window, win window at the track, that were probably greater proportion than the computer players are today. I mean, there'd be guys standing at the $50 window waiting for the gate, and with a cooperative teller, they're punching tickets at the last second and stuff like that. So not much has really changed. If you're good at what you're doing, you got a big chance.
Yeah.
And another thing too is like
a couple of the pools. I know we can't bet the super pool here because it's a split pool, and you know, and that single pool wagering, I think that's what they call it. That should be the norm everywhere. You know, if racetracks want to get guys from Betfair and offshore to come back and bet with them, the big players, they have to get the single pool wagering because. Because most of the people who are betting offshore, they're not betting there for, you know, rebates, right? They're betting because they can't bet into a normal North American pool without harming themselves. And I'm one of those guys. It's hard for me to make a, you know, I can't go bet a big daily double in the pool at Woodbine. It's just silliness. But with the single pool wagering, you know, that how this is not a common thing across the world everywhere is just beyond me. You know, it'll just, you know, it's basically, for the people out there don't know what I'm talking about, it's, in essence, a perfect single pool wagering format is, it's all based around, say, the trifecta. And all the money goes into one pool. And out of that one pool, they pay out win, play, show, exacta, trifecta, superfecta, quinella. So no matter how big of a bet you make, to win, it's absorbed into all the other pools. It's the greatest thing ever, but, you know, I guess it's too complicated, new software or hardware or whatever you call it. It blows my mind, racetrack, yeah, sometimes, man.
It probably is, but the one thing that we have to get better at in North America is the ADWs and the tow companies have to catch up and provide more of these bets. Like, you're lucky you're in... up at Woodbine, you're betting on HPI, which has the six up. The only one in the United States that I know offers it is Watch and Wager.
Yeah, and you know what? Bringing that up about Woodbine, I really thank them for offering a bet and a track that they probably, it's not a good business for them to offer in one way. Because I know, you know, you can't get rebates as players, and there's, you know, it's kind of tough dealing with Hong Kong in a way, but you know, they're doing it for their players, and I really thank them, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then, you know, and I like your point about the time between race days, because you really need that time to analyze what, like, you know, like what happened yesterday and then get ready for shot 10 Friday night, Saturday morning, and if they raced 5 days a week, not only could we not keep up, but I don't know how they could provide the updated information. I mean, that racing incident report that they have after every race in their charts is just as detailed as could be. And it's just a lot of good information, but it does take time.
Yeah, no, definitely custom built for the serious horse player. That's for sure.
Well, Tommy, that's you, and it's you in spades. And just, I'm glad you brought up your dad. I was going to ask you how he's doing, and you look after him. And, I know you waited as long as you could to leave Florida, and we're waiting for Jim Lawson to, make whatever plan with the Ontario racing authorities to get going at Woodbine.
Yeah, just let me make a comment on that. Jim Lawson, the Horsemen, the HBPA, everyone in Toronto is doing a hell of a job. I can't believe how, the leadership Jim showed. And, I've been critical of Jim and Woodbine, but, it is my passion. I love Woodbine, and they're doing such a good job. So I, with fingers crossed, I can see us opening up sooner than later. Fingers crossed, and hope, everything goes right. Because here, I don't know about in your neck of the woods, guys, but here, to almost a person, we're taking this stuff serious. Nobody has to tell us to stay inside. We're all trying to stay inside and do the right thing, and the leadership at Woodbine right now, it's really making me optimistic. I got three howitzers sitting on goal right now. My three babies are ready to tear up Woodbine, and because of this good leadership, I think it's going to be sooner than later.
Well, we hope so. And Tommy, it's always a delight to get a chance to talk to you, and particularly when it's the offer congratulations, almost a $1.2 million hit going back 10 days, and
hey,
pick
Steve,
six
one more thing. You know
at Happy Valley.
Napoleon
the 14th? Sure.
Huh? Steve?
I don't know.
What? They're coming to take me away, ha ha, he he. That song?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Everyone at Woodbine, I'm coming to take your horse away, he he, ha ha. Oh, I got too much money, man. I have 80 horses.
Watch the claiming box.
Unbelievable. Watch out at the claiming box, folks.
Oh, my God.
For the one and only Tommy Hammer, unbelievable, the best.
Thank you,
as
Steve.
Always,
pleasure.
And follow Tommy. Tommy, thank you. It's just great. Unbelievable.
A pleasure being on here,
Tommy,
Mr. Powell.
Massis.
Thanks, Tommy.
Well, and Dick, this was irresistible. I mean, I knew he hadn't really been playing a lot of Hong Kong of recent, recently, except that, with an empty wagon in terms of choices, he goes wading back in and takes down a whale.
Just tremendous story. And just, he's into it. He's dove deep and, Got the treasure.
Big time. Couple of minutes, Dick. Let's get a quick recap in from last week. And I mentioned the news that came out yesterday, Beauty Generation staying around for another season. And people will be excited about that. Some thoughts about last week.
Well, it's been the Zach Purton show. Zach's had 8 winners the past 2 race cards. Joe's only had 1. Zach's now 4 ahead in the rider standing, so he's gone from a couple behind to 4 ahead, and he had 5 yesterday. He was just on fire yesterday. 5 for 5 different trainers, by the way, and then Ricky Yu is pulling away in the trainers standings. He was a couple behind Francis Liu. Well, Francis is now 0 for 49, so Ricky Yu has gotten hot. Francis Liu cooled off. He now has 57 wins to 47, 56 to 47. So he looks like he's with 19 cards to go. He's probably going to win. John Moore's been red hot in the trainer standings. He's moving way up and obviously earning gobs of money. Yesterday, as we said, three favorites. The turf got upgraded from good to good to firm after race one. Interesting horse coming up Saturday, race coming up Saturday. Race 10 is a class three, but it's rated 60 to 85 instead of 60 to 80. So that expansion to the 85 brings in 10 different horses that are rated between 81 and 85. So normally those horses would have to run against higher company. Now they're in against class three. They're all superior hard-knocking horses. Some of them drew bad posts. So my pick for Saturday is going to be in race 10, number 7, Monica. John Moore trains. I think we can work out a decent trip from post two. I don't want to get into too much traffic because a lot of the speed from the outside is going to have to go. So that'll be fun to watch. But the last race is kind of interesting because there's not that big spread of weights that we normally get in the handicap races. The races are on Friday night, 10 o'clock Pacific time, first post, Saturday morning on the East Coast, 10 races, two on the all-weather race, 2 and 6. And that's about it.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Looking ahead.
In a couple of weeks, we get the Champions and Trader Cup, which is a mile and a half group one. And that will be a lot of fun. And then next week, we're back on the normal schedule. Shot 10 this Friday night, Saturday morning, back to Happy Valley, which I'm sure Tommy will be watching and wagering on Wednesday morning. So we're back to the normal schedule. And there's a little bit of switch coming up towards the end of May. And we only have 18, 19 weeks to go to the end of the season. So it's moving along. And Rider Championship, they call it the Premiership. It's just as competitive a battle as you'll see.
Now, this hopefully inspires some people to try to wade in and give it a shot. And Tommy, yes, he's a top level player, but the way he did this, and I just sent out the link with the specifics of the sequence. You could even go back and look at the program from last week at Happy Valley and see, construct the ticket yourself, reconstruct it, deconstruct it, and see what might have been the difference. And Tommy's also watching replays too, but that contributes. But Dick, I appreciate it, and you'd enjoy it.
That was absolutely terrific. As was your interview with Nick Zito on Tuesday.
Nick's always fun. We got Don Brumfield today.
That boy, Don, 50-something years ago. Now, what did he win, 1966?
1966, and then, of course, he got put up, right? Did he get put up? Or no, did he get put up? I know he rode forward pass. I don't know if he – that I got to look, actually,
well,
now that I think
point.
About it.
Yeah.
Because he was he did ride forward pass, and I think of him with forward pass. But let me see now that we're Milo Valenzuela.
Oh.
He didn't have you know what? I'm wondering if I'm going to have to ask him if he was hurt, because he did not have a mount in that a year later. Here he is, off of a couple of years, removed from Kauai King's win in 66. And he didn't have a mount. He was I'll pull that together. We had fun yesterday with Bill Boland as well. That was a treat.
Yep. Yeah.
Derby memories this week.
Yeah, Milo,
we'll catch up next week.
Okay, Steve, talk to you next week.
Go ahead, thanks. I'm sorry. All right.
Milo and Flavian put up in the Kentucky Derby. Country House.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the trivia question.
That's it. Who are the two jocks that that have been put up? So now people will keep that in their mind. And we're going to talk Kauai King, who won the 66 Derby. And actually, it occurs to me that that was just a couple of days before my brother was born. And his birthday, I'm glad I just reminded myself to make sure to wish my brother a happy yeah, birthday this weekend. I love it. Dick, thanks. We'll catch up next week.
Take care. Yeah, bye.
Let's take the bottom of the hour break. We're kind of falling well behind here. I did want to get Tony Black in and Steve Askin yet before Don Brumfield. Don will join us at the bottom of hour three. And so let's get a quick hit in with Tony. And particularly given that, we've had the Hall of Fame announcement and, of course, Daryl McCart getting in yesterday, historic committee, Boland the same way. I didn't discuss it with him yesterday, but Bill Boland had pretty much given up. He assumed he would never get in, and was surprised when they, because his riding career had ended. Well, he said 2006 was the last time he had been up here. He said for the ceremony, 14 years ago. So at that point, he was 73 and he stopped riding. He was one of those guys who stepped away, while he was healthy and he could have ridden more. He must have been in his late 30s when he retired. So, it had been 40 years since he had retired from riding that he got into the Hall of Fame. So I want to talk to Tony, get a little, little of those and just catch up, see how Tony is. And there's also a little bit of news from Pennsylvania, not from Parks, but from Penn and from Presque. I mentioned yesterday, they have made a formal request and submitted protocol suggestions to the state government, Governor Wolf, Pennsylvania, to get Presque and Penn National open. So they're waiting for direction from the governor's office in Harrisburg. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, Tony Black, Steve Haskin coming up, Don Brumfield. I don't know if we're going to get Rich Eng in today. Maybe we'll save Rich for tomorrow. Back after this.